Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back, everybody. If you're wondering what we did with Tim, since I'm stepping in for Tim, Tim had to step out. He is going up to Nashville for a meeting, so he had to leave a little bit. I think Tim just does whatever his wife tells him to do when it comes to travel. Allison is super organized. So anyway, I will be taking over for the last 25 minutes minus a handful of seconds. So Fred Jackson still remains here in the studio. And then Steve Paisley Jordahl.
Hey, I'm sitting in the boss's chair, so shouldn't I be in charge for the next?
You can. You can be in charge.
That would not go well, Steve, I don't think.
You know, if it's that important to you, you can.
Well, if that's the case, I'm going to need my own intro.
You're going to need your own intro.
I can't do it if it's just a generic, you know.
I had a generic intro for like 20 years, so.
So until I get that, I'm boycotting leading this show until I get that.
All right. By the way, Fred, a wonderful segment, last segment with Charlie Wysong.
Oh, that was.
And the importance of the Ten Commandments. That's he's on to something, and he's not the only one. Pastor Joseph Parker, who sat in the studio with us, he didn't say anything during that segment, but he has a Ten Commandments project that AFA does.
Yes.
And there really is something to that. In fact, I do mention periodically when we talk about the 1980 ruling where the Supreme Court said you can't post the Ten Commandments in public schools any longer. Part of their reasoning, I am paraphrasing here, was the Supreme Court said if you post the Ten Commandments in school hallways, the students will read the Ten Commandments and be tempted to follow them.
Yes, it might have an influence.
It might have an influence. And I always thought, so what's wrong with that? And now, 40 years later plus, we see what's wrong with the Supreme Court ruling.
Well, look at what has happened since that ruling, and other people have pointed this out.
Right.
That was a Kentucky case,
yes,
as I recollect. And what has happened in our nation's schools, we've had tragic shootings,
right,
multiple deaths in there, drugs. What our kids are being taught in school.
Yes.
Instead of biblical standards.
Right.
What we're having is standards being taught that are 180 degrees to what the Bible teaches. But you know what? I'm encouraged because I'm starting to see some real pushback against that.
Yes.
The nation has gone so far in the other direction. There are, I think, a growing number of Americans who are basically saying, wait a minute, this is going too far.
Right.
When you look at, and I keep going back to Virginia as the example of what happened there when a transgender, a boy who claimed to be a girl, went into a girl's washroom, sexually assaulted a little girl there, and then was transferred off to another school, and the same thing happened again.
Right.
So parents, an uprising began.
Right.
Which resulted in a change, a political change in the state government there.
Right.
Republicans who fought for parental rights. And we're starting to see this Moms for Liberty. There's groups that are starting. And it's the kind of thing, American Family Association is being vindicated.
Right.
For years, our founder, Brother Don, warned about if you move away from godly standards, this is what will happen in your church denomination.
Yes.
This is what will happen in your country. This is what will happen in your schools. This is what will happen in your families. And so people are starting to say, uh-huh, that was right.
Right.
So how do we dig ourselves out of this hole? Well, how you dig yourselves out, you need to repent before the Lord.
Right.
And get back to saying, you know what? For example, things like the Ten Commandments. Now, we aren't saved by the law.
Right.
But the law, the Bible says, is our schoolmaster.
Yes.
You know,
leading us to Christ.
Leading us to Christ. And so having those on display, I'm so proud of what happened in Louisiana.
Yeah.
What courage by lawmakers there. Congratulations, men and women there.
Right.
In that state who are, and there's going to be fights.
Right.
Legal fights over this. But taking that stand because they understand the importance. We serve a God who doesn't change.
Right.
And if people start looking at those, like that court decision you said, and it starts to have an influence on the kids.
Right.
Are you going to argue against that? That that's bad? Yep. Praise the Lord.
Well, Steve, that was good preaching, by the way, Fred. I don't know if you got a chance to listen to Charlie Weiss' song.
I did a little bit of it.
A little bit.
I was doing a couple other things as well. But, no, very good. And I said it on the devotions this morning. It's very good.
Yeah, excellent. All right. Well, let's get to our stories.
All right. I want to start here. Well, before we get off of the Joe Biden train, he was in Philadelphia over the weekend, and he wanted to thank the good people of Philadelphia for helping him run a campaign. Only one problem. The campaign was in Delaware, not Philadelphia. So, let's listen to I don't have my cut sheet here. What cut is it, Fred?
It is going to be cut number 7.
But look, even when I was running for Senate, and each time I ran, quite frankly, not a joke, Philadelphia in particular, got me across the line. No, I'm not joking. Seriously, organizationally and in terms of fundraising, the whole deal.
Yeah, you can tell that he's unsure of himself when he says he's not joking.
Right. So he was basically saying when he was running for the Senate, and I'm sure re-election in the Senate for Delaware, that Philadelphia entered into the picture. We were talking about in our story meeting, I could see where Democrats perhaps living in Philadelphia might contribute to him one state, next state over. But really, as you mentioned, why, since you have your own candidates running
senators,
in
and it wasn't like he was a national figure at that point. He was just a senator from Delaware.
So he's probably just wrong here in this speech.
I think he was he was raised Puerto Rican, black, Chinese, Jewish.
Right. Whoever he's
and ran
to.
For Senate in Delaware in Pennsylvania. So there's all kinds of stuff. That's good stuff going on. This is how far he's gone. I showed you guys this picture, but they are we've known for a while now that Joe Biden's staff gives him cheat sheets, right?
Right.
With reporters' names or talking points. This is how bad it's gotten, and I'll see if I can send this to Brent to put it up on our Facebook page. But now they are providing you with pictures on how to walk onto the stage.
This is what it looks like to walk on and walk off.
This is where the podium is. This is where you exit. Because it's not been good. So, our president is need of a little bit of help, and he's kind of getting it. That's not. It might be after the show. I'll send the link to Brent. All right, you guys mentioned last hour Tractor Supply.
Yes.
The walking back that Tractor Supply did, and I think it's the first of several. Gains that we're going to have in sense and common sense, roll back the DEI thing. But let's take a look specifically at what happened at Tractor Supply. So Tractor Supply, for some reason, in the last couple of years, put themselves in a DEI department, diversity, equity, and inclusion, started having climate goals. It was reporting its gay friendliness to the Human Rights Campaign, which is a homosexual activist group that puts out a rating every year about the most gay-friendly businesses and everything. And there's a guy named Robbie Starbuck, which I think is one of the best names in...
Absolutely.
Yeah. Nothing to do with the coffee company, but his name is Robbie Starbuck. And he thought, this isn't right. I think he has a farm. He shopped at Tractor Supply. So he... kind of individually started a campaign, Write Tractor Supply. He got employees from Tractor Supply to write, and Tractor Supply listened. I want you to hear what Robbie Starbuck has to say, then I'll read some from Tractor Supply's company, our statement. So this is what Robbie Starbuck, who organized his boycott, had to say, cut 11.
This is the first Fortune 300 company in our lifetimes to go backwards on ESG, DEI, and all these woke causes and donations in record speed, mind you. They're going to stop funding all of these woke causes, and instead they're going to fund things that are nonpartisan in nature, like agriculture education, animal welfare, veterans causes. BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street are not their customers. They are not walking through the doors to get farm supplies. People like myself and my neighbors are, because we own farms. We are setting a new standard, and corporations and their CEOs are going to have to reckon with this. They're going to have to understand that they may be next. If you get strategic and you look at companies who depend on that middle America vote, they depend on you walking into that store. Those are the companies where you can extract change first. And as a by proxy effect, you're going to see other companies start to make changes because they see that a certain type of doing business is toxic.
That's a more eloquent way of saying go woke, go broke.
Fred, I'm going to say this. And by the way, folks, let me point you to AFA.net. That is our ministry website. AFR, for example, AFR.net is a part of that umbrella organization. But at AFA.net, we always have our action alerts front and center on our homepage. And we do have a petition we're asking our supporters, listeners to AFR, to sign thanking Tractor Supply. So if you will go to AFA.net, you will see that action alert right there on the homepage. Please click through. It's easy to sign up for action alerts if you haven't already, but sign that petition to thank Tractor Supply for their decision. Now, Fred, what I was going to say is what may happen going forward. The Human Rights Campaign, with its Equality Index, that's what Steve was talking about, has basically had a 15-year run where everybody, all these major companies and corporations, just basically fell over themselves to appear as if they are very supportive of the LGBTQ community. And the Human Rights Campaign had that all to themselves.
Yeah.
Until 2020, we saw the explosion of critical race theory, DEI, all these things, the woke agenda, which is itself an umbrella. I think what may happen is that groups like the Human Rights Campaign may lose influence because people who reject this diversity, equity, and inclusion movement, the woke movement, will just simply toss the LGBTQ cause into the basket.
Yes.
And you may see, like we mentioned in the first hour, with Bud Light and this reaction to the transgender movement, they all may get tossed in the same basket and all may suffer the consequences as Americans reject the woke agenda.
Yeah, it took a while for Americans, I think, to catch on to just how strong this wave was from the left. But what they're also beginning to understand, it's a fairly small group that's been driving this.
Right.
You know, groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah.
Affording themselves the right to say that group is a hate group.
Yes.
Just because they disagree with homosexuality. And so for a while, the American people were going to say, okay, that doesn't impact me. I'll just let it slide. The same with the DEI stuff. It's not the kind of thing that the, you know, a given company put up on their banner in front of their store.
Right.
But now the American people have become far more educated on what it means. Because of DEI, you have some people getting jobs when other people are more qualified for those jobs.
Right.
Great jump here.
Yes. So that's a good example. But you have it happening in medical schools, in law schools.
Pilots flying planes.
Pilots. You have it happening with Asian students at Harvard. Not getting into Harvard because...
Possible replacements for president?
Yeah, yes. All of those things. And the American people are starting to say, even amongst liberals, you know, who may have a liberal point of view, we're not talking just conservative Christians here, all of a sudden it's affecting their kids, the whole transgender agenda when it comes to girls' sports.
Right.
So what has happened is the full manifestation of this left-wing ideology has gone mainstream.
Yeah.
And the mainstream is saying, no.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to let that man who just claims to be a girl hurt my daughter.
Right.
On the soccer field or the basketball court, whatever the case may be. And by the way, my son is more qualified for that job than this person over here. And I don't think it's right. They worked hard. My son has worked hard. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. So you have this open rebellion. And so, you know, you watch commercials on TV at night. And Instagram, I watch some of the videos on Instagram. There are a lot of conservatives that are showing up on social media now saying, enough is enough
right. Of
this DEI stuff. I've had it with that. And so you're having this, you know, a wave comes ashore, but then there's a kickback from it.
Yeah.
The undertow that they warn about. The undertow is underway in this country. And, I'm anxious to see how that manifests itself in this election, because I think the left has overplayed its hand.
Yes.
And I don't think America is ready for that agenda.
Well, and you said, who's this? Robbie Starbuck. He mentioned that other companies, Steve, may be watching what happened here to Tractor Supply and may feel safe in going down the same road. At the start, I would imagine it would only be companies whose main customer base is not woke. Okay. Starbucks coffee might not backpedal on it because they probably do have a pretty woke customer base.
There are not only customer base, but there are certain companies that are run by people who buy into this. I remember when I was in Colorado Springs, I sang for a group, the Colorado Springs Chorale. It was a large choir. We did masterworks with the Philharmonic and everything. The chorale had put out a statement that said, we support homosexual rights and all this kind of stuff. It was totally useless. Yeah, there were people in the chorale who were gay, but it didn't matter. I mean, I'll sing with them. It doesn't, But they put out this statement and someone said, oh, you know what? Steve Jordahl works for Focus on the Family. I bet he has something to say about this. So he asked me. And I said, I even went as far as to say, because I prearranged this, if you're getting money from the Gill Foundation or other gay rights groups in Colorado Springs, I have somebody that will match those donations from a family-friendly thing. And the director, who's a man that I deeply, deeply respect, still do, said, no, we're doing this because we think it's right. And it was kind of a shock to me, because it's not always just that the squeaky wheel, which HRC and all these gay rights groups, they scream and they make it sound like they're going to put you out of business if you don't obey them. They don't really have that much power. They have as much power as businesses are willing to give them, but there's not that many people behind them. But there are some true believers. And I think going back to the Ten Commandments discussion, we have some education to do in morality in this country. We have some ground to take back. And I'm glad that Tractor Supply did what they did. I think you're right about Starbucks and other companies. But folks, you can't necessarily divest yourself of everything that you don't approve of morally.
Right.
So you might decide, you know what, if a company supports Planned Parenthood, I'm not going there. I'm with you. If a company supports the Human Rights Campaign or these, you know, transgender agenda, I'm not going to shop there. You might have to, you know, you can't divest if a company is going to say I'm you know, giving money to the Democrat Party. You know, you can't be pure 100%. You'll starve.
You got to pick your battles.
Pick your battles.
Right.
But there are certain battles worth picking, and I think Starbucks found one, and I think it's possible for principled Christians to find one, and that influence counts.
Yeah, it does. All right, good. Next story.
All right. Let's talk about the weather. They've been breaking records in California, heat records. Do you know that it hit 124 degrees in Palm Springs? That's an all-time high. Now, Palm Springs is known. It's in the inland high desert. And it's known for being, it can get hot. It's not that far away from Death Valley.
Right.
But 124 is their all-time high. And, in fact, it hit 127 degrees in nearby Death Valley. I've been in 115-degree temperature, and I can't imagine it being a whole lot hotter. That's hot.
I remember living, my wife and I lived in Arizona, Scottsdale, Arizona, for almost 3 years. And it would be over 100 degrees for 30 days straight, sometimes reaching 110, 112, yeah. whatever. And I can remember I owned a little Subaru hatchback, and the ignition was metal. Put your key in and turn it. And I could not crank that car. I could not crank it when it was in the summer. I would have to have a handkerchief because you have to hold it long enough for the car to turn over. And it was too hot. And so I can't imagine it being 124. This is an all-time high. Is it expected to continue for
several
days? They
say it'll be here for a while. Well. My daughter started her family in Phoenix, and this is the first time I'd ever heard of this, but she had a van that you could start remotely. She's in the restaurant or whatever, and she can start the thing, let it cool down for a bit before you get your kids in that oven.
Yeah.
I now have one of those cars, and I tell you, it doesn't get near that hot here, but it's nice. It's nice to be able to start that car remotely and walk in.
Listen, it had vinyl seats in this car. It was a cheapie.
Yeah.
Okay. And in fact, it was the first car I had ever bought. And I could not get in with shorts because my legs would stick to that vinyl. And listen, 124 is, I can see where that would be a scorcher and a record. Yeah. So,
all right, let's end here. Ed, if this job isn't working out for you and you think you need some new employer, a new business, I have a suggestion for you because Seattle is looking for a tree equity manager, a tree equity initiative manager, because, well, environmental racism. Black and brown and other minority companies, places don't have the right trees in, doesn't provide as much shade as they get in white neighborhoods, according to the people. So this is a six-figure job for tree equity.
Tree equity. All right, so let me see if I understand what these folks are saying, and what a shocker up in Seattle. Okay,
I know.
A very, very, very liberal place. So the city of Seattle has hired a tree equity person.
They're looking for.
Looking for it. So I'm guessing it can't be a white guy.
Probably won't work that way.
So what they are saying is.
And probably you can't have too many rings, as in be too old.
Yeah.
Tree rings.
Oh, too old. Yeah, I get it. So they are saying that specific areas of Seattle have been the victims of racism, and that's demonstrated by not having enough trees, or is it
the lack of tree canopies and green spaces in Black, Asian, and Latino majority communities is due to institutional racism?
Well, that's probably nonsense. I'm guessing, all of this seems to be nonsense anyway, the woke movement. I'm guessing that a lot of the concentration of poor people which may very well be people of color are probably in parts of the city that are mostly concrete.
Could be.
I mean, they're not out in the suburbs, in other words. And so
you're in your new position as tree equity manager, how are you going to fix that?
Well, first of all, I'm not moving to Seattle. If I can do it remotely, I might
be able to.
I might help. But let's tear down some tenement government housing and plant trees. How does that make
making homeless people now?
Does that make sense?
You're making homeless people now. That's just wrong.
All right, folks. With that idiocy up in Seattle, we will finish out our show. You've been listening to Today's Issues, and there is more great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. We hope you will tune in, and Lord willing, we'll see you tomorrow. We'll be right back.